Let's worship.
See you.
How's everybody doing tonight? Good. Good for a Wednesday. Happy to be in the Lord's house this evening. Did y'all come expecting to get something? I hope you did. I hope you prayed about it on the way over here. I think my mic's on. All right, we're going to continue in our Holy Spirit series tonight, titled this, Believers Have the Advantage. We do. But do we live like we have the advantage? I don't. Most of the time, but I want to start living and believing that I have the advantage because I have the Holy Spirit, because I am a child of God. We're going to start off by reading John 16:7, just so we can set it firmly in your minds as well, where we're taking off tonight. Jesus said, "But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." When I read this statement of Jesus, obviously I wasn't there, but when I read the words, I feel excitement. I don't feel discouragement. I don't feel like he's saying, well, this is going to be a second, the second best thing. You need to be sad that I'm leaving. I think he is excited. If I go, it's going to be to your advantage because I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. I won't be limited to just this one body anymore. I'm going to be the Holy Spirit and can be everywhere at all times inside of every believer. That's exciting, even for a Wednesday night. It's okay to be excited. Are we truly living like we have the advantage? Many of us believers today live as though the Holy Spirit hasn't come to us, that the Holy Spirit does not indwell each of us. We live like we're uncertain, unsure. Tonight, though, we're going to look at seven specific advantages that we have as believers with the Holy Spirit. So if you leave here tonight and you don't feel like that you got the advantage, it's not my fault. Like you ain't believing the Bible. Let's look at our first advantage. The first advantage that the Holy Spirit has that we have because of the Holy Spirit is that the Holy Spirit convicts us. John 16:8-11. "And he, when he comes, will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment." And then he's going to break it down concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. And let me stop here. This is not this sermon, but let me get excited for a minute, because I've done this my whole life, and I hear almost every single person that gives a testimony. I feel like that I got to build myself up as the worst person in the world. Like I was like a Viking before Jesus. I mean, I was pillaging towns, and it was the worst thing that could happen. You can't believe what all I did against Jesus Christ. But here's what we need to realize. It doesn't matter if you had only done one sin, if you had stolen a piece of cake from your aunt's window frame, or you had done all the most heinous acts in the world. Here is the critical thing that we must understand. Because he convicts them because they do not believe in him. That's the problematic sin. disbelief in Jesus Christ. And so that's what we were all guilty of. No, that's what linked us together in guilt of sin before salvation, is that we all committed the sin of disbelieving that Jesus was God's Son. All right, we'll keep going. I like that. I thought that was good. And concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you no longer see me. So the Holy Spirit is going to come and comfort us to let us know that, yes, Jesus lived a perfect life. Yes, He's at the right hand of the Father right now. Yes, this is all real and you can take comfort in it. And then judgment. Because the ruler of this world has been judged. So the enemy, the devil, has been judged. He was found lacking. And one day he will be chained in the pit, thrown in there, and will never escape out of it. But until that time, he still prowls around like a lion among us. So without the Spirit, no one experiences conviction that leads to salvation. That's the first step. When somebody is broken over their sinfulness, to me, that's a sign of great hope, because that's the first step, is realizing that you're a sinner in need of a Savior. And the Holy Spirit does that conviction. He shows us our need of Jesus, because exposing sin, defining righteousness, declaring judgment. Here's the one thing, and I think I talked about this on Sunday. It's been on my heart recently, so I'm going to tell you again. We cannot argue or intellect anyone to Jesus for salvation. I've tried and tried and tried. Like, I thought of what the smoothest words that I can say. What do I need to say? Is it the old bait and switch to get you to believe in Jesus? Because at the end of the day, my heart is, I want everybody to believe. I want everybody to believe in Jesus and have a relationship with Him. I want them to have the hope of life now. I want them to have the hope of a life eternal. So I'm thinking, what do I need to do? What can Philip do to make sure that this happens? Well, and then I read this. I'm like, well, Philip needs to be leaning a whole lot more on the Holy Spirit. That's what he needs to be doing. Because the Spirit must awaken the heart of a disbeliever. Are we spending time in prayer for those we want to see saved? And if we're not, that's an error. We need to be calling them out by name, saying, Jesus, please send your Holy Spirit to them and help them to see the truth so that they can believe and have eternal life. Pray daily for the Spirit's convincing work in your heart and in the heart of those that we share Jesus Christ with. That's something we should be doing every day. Every day. I want to challenge you right now. You want to talk about something practical? Here's something real practical. I hope by this time you guys are praying every day at least one time, at least like when you get up, or at some point if you're not doing that, you need to start doing that. But couple that, I want to challenge you tonight, Wednesday night, couple that prayer time, add one person that you know that is apart from Jesus Christ, that does not have a relationship with Jesus Christ, and start praying for them by name every day. If you're not doing that, do it. Start. Ask the Holy Spirit to convict them and show them Jesus Christ so that they can see, hear, and believe in Jesus. I challenge you to do that. At least one person. All right, the second advantage of the Holy Spirit is that He regenerates. John 3, 5 through 8. Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, verily, verily, amen, amen, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Jesus didn't pull no punches. He just told it straight. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes and you hear the sound of it, but do not know where it comes from and where it is going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. So the Spirit gives life to us. Salvation isn't self-improvement. It isn't just a phase or the next moment or the thing that we're doing. It is a complete spiritual rebirth. And that has made a lot more sense in my life as I've gotten older. moral reform and religious effort cannot, will not ever substitute for regeneration of the Holy Spirit. There's not enough good things that we can do. We can't be so focused enough hours of the day to be good enough. We never will be able to, but thanks to the Holy Spirit and thanks to His regeneration work, we can be. So the question tonight is, have you truly been born of the Spirit, or are you spending your life trying to be a legalist and just trying to be better? Because no matter what you do, you will never be good enough. Rather, submit to Jesus Christ, bow knee to Jesus Christ, ask for His forgiveness, ask for His righteousness, because He could earn it. He did earn it. And we can only get it through Him in a relationship with Him. He's got to give it to us. We can't earn it. The third advantage of the Holy Spirit is that He empowers believers. Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth. So the Spirit gives us boldness and ability. And I am thankful for that. There, in my opinion, I don't know that there's a greater spiritual warfare than when you're trying to share the gospel. I've said it before and I'll say it again. If you're not experiencing any spiritual warfare, if you think I'm crazy, and you're like, this, Philip, you're nuts. Like, it's not real. It's not a thing. Okay, go try to share the gospel with somebody and then come back and talk to me about it. If you didn't feel spiritual warfare in that, I want to know about it. Because every time that I have, with intent, gone to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with somebody, I have had the enemy come against me. But with the power of the Holy Spirit, we have boldness. And we can persevere through that. The mission of the church is impossible without divine power. God knew that. And so He gave us the divine power of the Holy Spirit. But most of us, me included, we complain of our weaknesses. We complain of our whatnots and what we don't have. That's what we spend our mental energy on, thinking about what we do not have. The gifts and abilities, the things that we fall short on. I'm so weak over here. But realize this, God has supplied His own sovereign strength and He seated it right inside of us. So why are we not thinking more about that? Why is Philip not thinking more about the power of God that's dwelling inside of me? And then the next time the enemy comes upon me, just remind him, say, hey, in case you forgot, I've got the power of God inside of me and He wants me to do this. So in His boldness, I'm going to go and do this. But I hadn't been thinking like that. I've been thinking about my personal weaknesses. I've been thinking about my shortcomings, what I don't have, instead of what I do have. And I think we'd be a lot more powerful if we'd focus more on what we do have, which is the power of God dwelling inside of us. Are we regularly relying on the Spirit's power, or are we trying to rely on our personality? Am I trying to rely on how many words that I know? Am I trying to rely on how well I can articulate the doctrine of justification and all these other things? What am I thinking about? I want to start thinking about the Spirit and His power and less about Philip. It's like John said, I must decrease so He must increase. One thing that we could do to tap into this power is begin every ministry moment, every time that we're going to witness to somebody, every time that we're seeking to be used by God, is start it with the whole with prayer, asking God, say, God, here I am, please give me a fresh feeling of the Holy Spirit and help me and give me boldness and give me power to go and do what You've called me to do in this moment. How do you think you could go into the next situation if that's how you went into it? With a little more confidence? Probably. Next, the Holy Spirit transforms us. Galatians 5:22-25. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. When I look at this, what I see come off the page when I think about this is that the Spirit totally changes who we are before Christ. Total change. Total transformation. And the fruit of the Spirit is not a checklist where every day I'm going through there and going, okay, I've got to have love today. I had some love today, and then I had that joy moment earlier, and then I had peace. It's not a checklist. It's evidence of a new nature, of a new birth, of regeneration. I can go back to my life when I was not following Christ, when I didn't have a good relationship with Christ. None of these things were present. That is not good. These are fruit growing out of the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of us. And if you don't have these, and I'm not saying that I continually have all these things, that would not be truthful. I mean, I have my moments. I mean, I have them for sure. But these should be regular in my life. And if you're sitting here looking at this list and going, man, woof. When was I supposed to have some of that in my life? We need to get to praying and seeking God and seeing why do we not have these fruits in our life. True transformation always bears visible fruit. Now, I'm not talking about for a show. We're not going and digging up a little love so that we can show other people and impress other people. This should be a natural flowing because of the Holy Spirit that's dwelling inside of us. Because these are His characteristics. And they should be growing outside of us, inside and out of us. But one thing we can do is invite the Spirit to cultivate this fruit daily. The Bible also says that you've got to die to yourself, pick up your cross. How often? Daily. And so praying and asking God to cultivate this fruit daily makes a lot of sense because every day is a new day with new challenges and new things. And when we fall short, what do? We confess and ask for forgiveness. And the Bible says that if we do that, that He is just to forgive us. Next, the Holy Spirit guides us. Romans 8:14. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So the Holy Spirit of God is leading us. It directs the decisions that we make in life. It helps us with that. It helps us to take the right paths in life. And it's not a mystical guesswork. It's walking in sync with the Spirit's will that we see in Scripture. That's why it's so important to read the Bible, to know the Bible, because that's what we're doing. We're to follow this. And another thing, just think about Jesus. You read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you see how Jesus thought. It's very clear. You see how Jesus thought. You see how He spoke. You see how He walked. And if we've got any questions throughout the day, one thing that has helped me, if I've been struggling with should I do this, should I not do this, you know, think about if Jesus was there with you. That'll help you make that decision. If you're wondering if you need to go in a place, would you ask Jesus to go in there with you? If you're wondering, should I enter into this conversation? Well, would you want Jesus to overhear you have it? Just that one little thing will help you make a lot of decisions throughout the day. And failing to seek His guidance, I testify to this, will lead you into compromise and confusion. So a personal reflection question to ask you guys tonight. How often are you stopping, pausing, and just saying, Holy Spirit, lead me. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. I don't know whether to turn left or turn right or go forward or go back. But right now, I'm stopping and I'm submitting to Your authority and I'm asking for You to give me the next step.
We should be doing that more often if we're not. The sixth thing, the sixth advantage is he assures us. Romans 8, 16 and 17 reads, "The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him so that we may also be glorified with Him." The Spirit gives assurance and confidence. Now, this is not to say, this is not being insensitive, because I've been in this place many times where I've wondered about my salvation. Did I say the words right? Did I say the words wrong? Was my mind really in the right place? Did I really have the full understanding of Jesus when I walked the aisle or said the prayer or whatever? So I get it. I'm sensitive to that. I've been there. But this tells me right here that if the Holy Spirit is dwelling inside of me, that it testifies with my spirit. It has a conversation with my spirit. It comforts my spirit when it's in there. Because the Holy Spirit's not going to be in there to comfort if what? If you don't believe. Because you have to believe to have the Holy Spirit. So it's in there together comforting. And it's real comforting to me to know that I'm a child of the living God. And I'm a fellow heir with His Son, Jesus Christ. And I get to, through the power of the Holy Spirit, suffer with Him. And also, what does it say? We may also be glorified with Him. Doubt fades away when we hear the Holy Spirit's witness reminding us that we belong to God. You are His child. Because who do you think doesn't want you to believe that you are a child of God? Who doesn't want you to have that comfort? The devil does not want you to have that comfort. But God does want you to have that comfort when you are His child. And that's why He enables His Spirit to do that. So when fear or failure arise, remind yourself, remind the enemy, that the Spirit testifies that I'm God's child. I'm a child of the King. Our last advantage that we'll talk about tonight is the Holy Spirit gives gifts. 1 Corinthians 12, 11 through 13, "But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually, just as He wills. For even as the body is one and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jew or Greek, whether slave or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit." So the Spirit works through believers to build the church. And I think we talked about this last Sunday. I had not gotten here yet when I was talking about that last Sunday. Maybe that's the Holy Spirit. We need to be thinking about what gifts you have been given by the Spirit. Every believer in here, and I believe this in my heart, has been given a gift by the Holy Spirit to be used to build up the one body of Christ. We're not all going to have the same gift. Just like your body does not have all, not every part of your body is a thumb. That you would look really weird if your entire body was like a bunch of thumbs. We're not a bunch of thumbs. Jesus doesn't do that either. He puts us all together. He forms us all together. And so if you didn't think about that last Sunday, I'm going to call you tonight to maybe revisit that. What gifts has God given you? What gifts has the Holy Spirit given you to use for His glory to build up the body that is Jesus Christ? Spiritual gifts are not for pride. They're for service for God's glory. Not to boast. The church will suffer if we do two things wrong in the arena of having our gifts and using them. At least these two things. Number one, it suffers when we fail to use them. And I don't like to think about this, but what about Blunt Springs today? Where could we be if we had a few more people using their spiritual gifts that God had given them? Y'all ever thought about that? Like, we're at a really good place today. Like, I'm proud of the work that God has done at Blunt Springs. Super excited, happy to be part of it. But where could it be if we had even more people embracing and using their spiritual gifts every week? So that can hurt us by not using our spiritual gifts. And the other thing that can hurt us, we have to be careful. We've got to use our spiritual gifts and not try to use somebody else's. I want to sing so bad, I can't stand it. I look at Jeffrey up here and I'm thinking, I want to sing. I want to be a singer too. What good does that do? I'm just sat there and get mad as a hornet and I can't even worship because I'm coveting Jeffrey's gift. That ain't helping nobody. Building, making Jeffrey's head bigger. I got to use the gift God gave me to the best ability that God gave me that gift. And you got to do the same thing. Every one of us, same thing. If we want to stay on track. How are you allowing the Spirit to serve others through you? How are you allowing the Spirit to serve others through you as a vessel? Each of us need to discover our gift, develop our gift, and deploy our gift humbly through the power of the Holy Spirit. Obviously, this is a small glimpse of the activity and the power of the Holy Spirit. Small window. In no way did I ever think I was going to get up here and completely fulfill the gamut. This is just a little window to look through. But every one of these, all seven of these, do allow us to see a bigger reality that's going on through the power of the Holy Spirit. Are you living aware of the Holy Spirit's presence in your life every day? Is it part of your day? I just want you to just think about this. No raising hands, but really, truly, hear my heart. I want y'all to really reflect. Go deep. Ask yourself these questions before we go. Just a time of reflection. Are you living aware of the Holy Spirit's presence in your life? Secondly, are you resisting the Holy Spirit's advantage that He's given you? Like I was thinking about conviction. Or are you yielding to it and asking for power to go further? And if you've been struggling, will you begin inviting the Holy Spirit and relying more on Him? I'm going to read Matthew 13:58. It's not on the list. I didn't give it to you, David. But this is not exactly talking about the Holy Spirit, and I don't think I'm taking the Bible out of context here. But this is what came to my mind as I thought, what could we talk about? What could we look at in Scripture to really just put a little passion in your heart? Matthew 13:58 says, "And He did not do many miracles there." This is Jesus in His hometown. "He did not do many miracles there because of their unbelief."
So, ooh, that's like a powerful, I was fixing to come on.
So I just want you to take that truth that Jesus didn't do many miracles, and we know what he was capable of, and he attributed that because of their unbelief. So think about this to your own life. What else could the Holy Spirit do in your life if you fully believed it? And are we missing out because we think, well, I don't know if the Holy Spirit's going to do that. I don't know if the Holy Spirit's capable of that. I don't need to bother him with that. I want the fullness. I want the whole thing. So I'll leave that with you tonight to ponder on. We need to walk with the Holy Spirit, trust the Holy Spirit, and let our lives display his power. Let's pray.